Now, Matt, here's a question from Caitlin for you to have a stab at.
You have binary systems in space, but I'd like to know, are there ever trinary systems?
Can you first of all define for us, Matt, what Caitlin means by binary system?
Absolutely, Chris. And Caitlin, thank you for a lovely question. So a binary system is where you have two stars that are orbiting around a common centre of mass. The way to think of that is imagine you've got a friend, let's hope you all have a friend, and you hold their hands and you spin around. Right? You are basically pivoting around that common thing. It's not the greatest analogy, but if you imagine there are these two stars that are going around, orbiting around that common centre of mass. Now, can you get trinary systems or higher order systems? Absolutely you can. Absolutely. Most of the stars that we see, and if we look out on a clear night, they're going to be binary systems. There are lots of individual faint stars called red dwarfs, but we're not going to be actually able to see those. But it turns out that loads and loads and loads of these are also trinary systems. And in fact, you can also get quaternary, quintennary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So just to get this right, you're saying when I look at the stars in the sky, I'm seeing not one source of that light, but that's actually a pair or maybe three or even four little stars twiddling around each other.
So absolutely, and I'm going to blow your mind here, probably the most famous star that we look at, the pole star, that's a trinary system.
Oh goodness, Kate.
Oh, what's the biggest system?
Oh, well, I mean, you can extend all the way to where you have star clusters, where you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stars that are all sort of interacting in a gravitational way. So you can play that game endlessly. The problem is that the more you have, the more complicated those orbits become. In a trinary system, what you quite often find is you've got a binary. So you've got your two friends zipping around, and then you've got another star that's further around on a bigger orbit. And that's nice and stable and nice and easy. But the more stars you chuck in there, it becomes quite complicated and quite a messy thing. So what you'll find is that there's a lot of trinaries, fewer with four stars, fewer with five, fewer with six, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Just want to bring in Phil, but before I do, how do you know that this is the case? Where we used to think it was just a star, now we're calling it binary and trinary and quaternary systems.
So there's this wonderful thing called the Hubble Space Telescope. Some of you may have heard of, I hope all of our listeners have. And it was actually able to resolve out these points of light. You can also look at how they move. So you can get an idea from looking at the light itself that tells you about some of the motion. And you can reveal, this is how they look for exoplanets, you can reveal, there must be another object in there somewhere.
So as an astrophysicist, if you're looking at these kind of ternary systems, does the mathematics get exponentially harder the more stars you start to involve?
That's quite an understatement. There are these people who work on n-body simulations, and those get extremely complicated. The most extreme version of these is where we have these simulations of the universe as it formed. So those are these incredible n-body simulations about dark matter and gas and supermassive black holes. So yeah, it gets ugly very, very quickly.
Matt Middleton, thank you very much.